Blog Talk Radio.
Twice. Good afternoon, everybody. Get now live. This is to the Middleman Talk Show on blogtalkradio.com, and this is Al.
And this is Kevin.
And this is Nick.
Yeah. Boy, you got a delay over there or something like that, boy.
Woo.
What's going on,
hey. Man? Hey, how y'all doing, man?
Man, we doing all right, man. I'm glad I didn't have to do the intro this time because I really messed that up last show.
Hey, practice make perfect, man. Practice make perfect.
Man, no.
What he's saying is get in front of the mirror. Get in front of the mirror 2 hours a day and practice the intro in case you have to do it.
Right. And if you need a microphone, Kevin, I mean, all you got to do is get you like a big wooden spoon. Just stand in front of the mirror, man, and just do it.
So y'all got jokes. Y'all got jokes. No, man, that ain't gonna happen.
Man, slick your hair back like Temptation.
Bro, I'm just gonna record Al saying it, and I'm gonna have it already chewed up. So when the show start off, it's gonna start off like that, even if you ain't on the show.
Hey, that's something.
Yeah, I know how to make it work. Now y'all know. Hey, I'm the tech guy over here. Controlling the board.
Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate that. Everybody got their own strength, man.
Man, shout out to Jen over there chilling. I know she's chilling hard. Too hard. But it's all good, though. Hey, man, y'all know what it is, man. Do y'all really know what it is?
Man, it's a new year, man. Happy New Year, man.
Man, happy New Year to all y'all. All the Middleman listeners out there, we do appreciate y'all for supporting us again. And once again, happy New Year to everybody. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to have to say this. I think we're going to have to stop with this New Year, New Me stuff. Y'all stop that. Stop it. Just stop. That don't work no more.
It don't. I think people are ringing out with it, man, because it's just, like, it started with, you know, coming up with these whole long list New Year resolutions, which people still do. And then now the whole, you know, social media age, you know, I want to look different. I'm going to act different. I'm going to treat people different. And then 2 days after you say you're going to do that, guess what happens? You go back.
Change right back.
Yep. You're the OG.
What about the I'm going to cut off everybody?
I'm so sick of that. If you're going to cut somebody off, you cut them off. You don't just announce it. Just do it.
Right.
And why did it take you all year to decide you were going to cut that one person off?
Correct.
I'm just going to wait till the new year. Okay.
Right. After that 10, you still got that number saved on your phone, and you still friends with them on Facebook. You ain't cut them off yet.
Lurky.
Well, let's go ahead and stop this one thing about the new year now. For everybody who's making a pledge to lose weight and get in shape and everything, that's all fine and dandy. I support you and everything. But if you made that declaration on January 1st, then there's no reason that today you should be posting gym pictures. You hadn't even lost a sweat yet. Like, just wait. Wait a little bit. Show some actual, you know. So, speaking
like
of January 5th, Al, happy Founders Day to you, brother. Happy Founders Day.
Hey, I appreciate
that,
man.
For those who do not know,
shout out to my brother.
Yeah, Allen is a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. Today is their Founders Day.
The best fraternity ever.
I can't necessarily go with you on that, but what I can say is happy Founders Day. Kappa Alpha Psi has been positively impacting our community since 1911. So, you know, we want to give a big shout out to all the Kappas out there.
Most definitely. Yo, noob.
Yeah, we need to have them listening to the show right now, too. So, get at it. Hey, man.
We need to do a show about fraternities and sororities, because I got some things to talk about and how black fraternities and sororities are portrayed in the media versus their white counterparts.
Man, last time we did a show talking about fraternities and sororities, man, we all got in trouble. No, we ain't going to do that no more.
No, we ain't going to do that.
Hey, it's not a good. That's right. It's going to be in a controlled environment.
Yeah. And by the way, let me just say this. Because there was somebody on Facebook I had to call out about that. For all those people out there criticizing fraternities and sororities, let me just say this. If you're in a bike club, guess what? you're pretty much doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
The things that prospects go through, I take that over. I wouldn't take that over my pledge process any day. But the point is, you're doing the same thing. Stop hating.
Right.
Well, man, you know what? It is time for us to get into the topic, man. I'll put it to you like this. I think this is a year of return. The Middle Million Talk Show has returned this year. Really last year, but we're going to say we returned this year. We got bigger and better things for you guys, so please continue to listen to us and support us. We do appreciate that. So, Al, I'm going to let you read on the topic what we got for our listeners today, but yeah, go ahead and read it. Then we're going to go into it, because Al got something real special to share with us today, man, because, I mean, this brother right here, like I said, the last show, if you listen, tune in, I am proud of him. I am proud of his wife. So he got something to share. So, Al, let him know what we're talking about today, brother.
Well, thank you for everybody tuning in to the Middleman Talk Show. Today we're talking about the year of return, the resurgence of Pan-Africanism, wealth, and prosperity. So today on our show, we will begin discussing the event of last year where the president of Ghana declared 2019 the year of return, marking 400 years since 1619 when the first enslaved Africans arrived here on U.S. soil. He has made a push for African-Americans and Afro-Caribbeans to return to Ghana, where 75% of the slave trade passed through. We will also discuss the cultural significance of visiting African nations, the economic opportunities for black people in these countries, and the push for more Mecca trips to African nations going forward. So we definitely want to hear what you guys feel about that. I know that there are some people out there who have been journeying to Ghana. So if you have some information or some insight on that, please call in. The number is 516-387-1542. If you would like to get in on the chat, definitely get in on the chat board. Just go to blogtalkradio.com and create your profile. Click on the Little Man Talk Show. Click on chat. And you can place your comment there. If you're on Facebook, go to the Little Man Talk Show on Facebook, and you can place your comment there. Someone will definitely get to you as well.
Yes, sir. All right, now to the goodies. For all those that don't know, Al was international before this, but he's really, 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 really,
really
international at this particular point. Al, let all of our listeners know where you just traveled from.
Well, my wife and I and two of our other family members, we took a trip to Egypt, and we traveled pretty much the entire country of Egypt. We went from Upper Egypt to Lower Egypt, and then back down from Lower Egypt to Upper Egypt. And the experience was one of a lifetime. One of a lifetime. I definitely recommend, if you are interested in going to Africa, definitely go to Egypt as well. So there's a lot of history over there as well, too. My my experience over there was something to be remembered, because being here in America, like, you know, walking in certain places, like, you're treated different, you know, and you can tell and you can feel it as a black man and a black woman, feel certain things. Going over to Africa and being amongst people who look like
one thing I wanted to ask you, what was the cultural experience? I know you're talking about you're seeing a lot of people that look like us, and you know, that it's just a different feeling than being in America. But what was the cultural feeling? Because, I mean, in America, we as Americans, black Americans, we have culture, but you were truly immersed in a culture of that particular country. How was that in an experience?
Well, you got to think from a, so talking with some of the people there, they start teaching their children their cultural aspects, like, starting at the age of 10. So if your family grew up as a family of making, like, Egyptian rugs, you would start at 10 learning how to make those Egyptian rugs. And they all have their signature look. You know, that is a part of their culture. Also, too, with like, pottery and all other forms of, like, oils and stuff like that. Like, it's, I was able to experience how they make that. I was able to experience how they make papyrus. I was able to experience the food.
How was that? Wonderful. How was that? Speak a little bit about,
man,
the food.
The food was wonderful, man. I mean, they eat in large portions now. You know, so, you know, I was thinking, you know, the portion control would be different, but they just kept bringing food out. You know? But I think that is the form of, it's a form of love, because, you know, when you feed people and they feel good, you know, they, you know, it's a form of giving. And so, and it was customary as well to, like, you know, make sure you try, you know, everything that's there, you know, just to try. But the food was great. The people were very receptive, very, like, they knew that we were African American. Like, they knew that we were Americans, right? They could tell. And so they would come up to you and say, "Hello, my Nubian king, my Nubian queen." Like, they would point at their skin and put it up next to yours and say, "We are the same, Nubian."
Wow. Yeah.
And so,
did you feel, did y'all feel safe over there? I mean, did y'all, like, did you have any, you know, like, reservations about being in a foreign land like that with different people?
Possibly maybe my first day or two there, you know, just being unaware of the surroundings. And then also, too, you know, when you going into certain areas, you know, different political things are, you know, in abundance. Over there, their police and the military work hand in hand. So when you will see a military officer, you will also see a police officer. Then you will next see a plain clothes detective, you know, a few yards away. So it, you know, there is no room for error. So, yes. So, I mean, but the traffic, I mean, up in Cairo, Egypt, the traffic is horrendous. I mean, there are no stoplights. Cars are moving like race cars, zooming in and out, zooming in and out. But other than that, like, to be over there to see things that we will see on movies and magazines and things that we have read about or heard our Pan-African scholars and teachers and history teachers talk about, to be able to see that was like an experience that was out of this world. I mean, you know, to hear, you know, Malcolm X, you know, talk about, you know, seeing the pyramids and we are from here. These are the same people. We are those same people. Because we are.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, most definitely, man. And if you're just tuning in to the Middleman Talk Show online or just tuning in via the phone, we're talking about the year of return, the resurgence of Pan-Africanism, Wealth of Prosperity. Al is just giving us a rundown on his trip to Egypt, Cairo, Egypt. And, I mean, man, we're definitely going to get into that. Nick, is there a couple of things you want to go over with our listeners?
Yeah, actually, I got some stats and then I got a clip here. First, I want to reiterate what I did, what I said on the last show, and I'm appreciative of Al for giving us that detailed entry, because a lot of times people will just say, oh, I'm going to Africa, and they never really talk about the different African nations, and I think that's something that's still kind of burned into our skull from years of, let's call it what it is, white supremacy. But let's also remember there are 55 nations in Africa, okay? 55 individual nations in Africa. And for the stats that I have, I wanted to talk specifically with the year of return about Ghana. So just to put that out there, in 2018, there were 70,000 visas issued for people traveling to Ghana. In 2019, the year of the return, that number rose to 750,000 visas issued. That's an 800% increase, right? And so what I wanted to get into was how it actually helps the countries from an economic standpoint and how it can help us from an economic standpoint, because we actually, the majority of those visas that were issued to African-Americans and Afro-Caribbeans,
mm-hmm.
Which led to an estimated $1.87 billion to the Ghana GDP. So I want to get into this first clip with President Nana Akufo-Addo, who is the president of Ghana and who kind of spearheaded this entire year of return movement. So let's go ahead and get into that clip.
All right, and this is courtesy of the Roland Martin Show. There you go.
As a race, as a people. This morning at the breakfast, you talked about moving forward. And what was really interesting to me when you talked about the impact the Chinese diaspora
right.
on China and its development. And as I was listening to that, what you were essentially saying is that, look, when you look at the African diaspora, there is an opportunity here to really take this country, take this continent to a whole new level with the folks who are part of the diaspora.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The those who went to America and the Caribbean are part of the most developed economy in the world today, especially the American economy. And my understanding would be that if this connection, if this awareness is there, there's a lot that can come from that end for this process of our mutual development. And I, for me, this is one of the main outcomes I'm looking at, how we can join the bridge across the Atlantic, how we can forge it in such a way that trade and investment and commerce come both sides of the Atlantic together.
So, okay, let's dive into that really quickly. First, you probably heard, if you're listening, you probably heard something that you don't hear a lot of, and that's the Chinese diaspora, right? So the Chinese diaspora, we always hear about the African diaspora, and we know that is largely due to the transatlantic slave trade. But the Chinese diaspora, which basically occurred between the 19th century up until about 1949, was a mass immigration effort by the Chinese into different nations, a lot primarily into the Americas. And what he was saying was, is that, and I wish we could have had a clip of the actual breakfast where he kind of went into detail about it, but essentially China used that as an opportunity to further their development by having those people who were a part of the Chinese diaspora engage in commerce with them, right? And if we look at China now and we look at the massive world power that it is, obviously it worked. I mean, you can't really go too many places in the United States without seeing a restaurant or a supply store or a gas station,
right,
or something that's owned by someone who's Chinese of or Asian descent in general. And President Addo is looking to do something similar with that. His biggest thing was, and he was quoted as saying that Africa as a continent has the opportunity for development, And African Americans in particular have the expertise in that development. And I don't think we really give ourselves enough credit for that development that
right.
we have the expertise in. I was looking, when you look at places like Nigeria, who has their own version of Hollywood, it's called Nollywood. It's a very developed system of movies and theatrical and DVD and streaming releases. Well, it's still kind of on the low end in Ghana. Think about how many people that we have in the United States, Black Americans, that have YouTube channels that produce content, and I mean quality content.
Right.
Think about if we took that same system of development to Ghana and impacted their movie industry the way that we could. When you look at the economic opportunities from just the currency exchange, in Ghana they use the cedi, which is about 17 cents on a dollar for a U.S. dollar. So basically, a Ghana cedi is 17 cents in the U.S. And so if you think about it from that standpoint, if the average tax return in the United States is $1,949, right? That's 11,138 cedi. That money stretches out so much further somewhere like Ghana, where there is not a lot of development. Well, there is development. Don't let me say that there's not a lot of development, but there's room for so much more.
Right.
You know? And so I've actually been planning.
Nick, even just in preparation for this show, just looking up some of the information, I see that Ghana is a middle income country. And
absolutely.
They're ranked like 172 out of 230 countries, with the GDP capita of about $4,400. So, I mean, they're actually moving up in the world, man.
Absolutely. Nine of the nations in the continent of Africa are in the top 20 of GDP in the world and fastest growing economies. That's saying something. They're predicting that by 2040, that 40% of millennials in the world will live in Africa, in one of the nations. It's something serious to think about. And, you know, I've been planning, originally I was planning my trip to Ghana in November of this year, but I did realize that Afrochella is just a month away, so I'm thinking about moving my trip so I can see that, because from what I saw, this year was phenomenal. But in the process, one of the main reasons that I'm going is because going into one of the new business ventures, you guys know that I've done private label products and you know, been product producer before. Looking back into it, Ghana has a burgeoning coffee industry, and they produce a ton of Robusta blend coffee. And that was one of the things that I was looking at doing while I was there. And I was also looking at properties while I was there. Like, when you look at the average cost for a one-bedroom apartment in Ghana, it's 631 cedi per month, which equals out to about $110.42 per month. You know, the economic opportunities are there. And when we look at things like, okay, we have our banking black movement, right? You know, this is a time where we reach out to our black banks and put the pressure onto them. Okay, if this is really about a movement, we've done the due diligence on our part. We've opened accounts with your banks. We've increased your bottom line. Now let's do some investment here. I'd like to purchase some properties in Ghana. I'd like to purchase some properties in Sierra Leone, in Nigeria, in Egypt, and, you know, begin to build wealth. I think that's the biggest thing about it. It's a mutual, and President Addo is really smart about this. He's talking about a mutual benefit, not just increasing tourism to Ghana, but increasing commerce and trade between Ghana and African Americans and Afro-Cubans, Afro-Caribbeans, This is part of the reason why Korea has been so successful in China.
Yeah. I got a question. I mean, if one was interested in buying property in Ghana or any of the other African nations, you know, it's difficult to buy a house here in America. You know, very difficult. And some people don't even understand the process of that. But here we're talking about in a whole different nation, different country. How do we go about securing that property without having, you know, being taken advantage of? How can we do that?
Well, there's a couple ways. One, you would have to look into where exactly that you're wanting to purchase. So this is where it comes down to the whole thing about Africa being a continent and not a country. Different nations have different regulations in terms of what you can and cannot do. There are some African nations that you can't even go to, just to be completely honest. But with some of the more developed areas, like, you know, Accra, you know, which is the capital city of Ghana, or just Ghana in general, Nigeria, there are no restrictions on foreigners buying property. Now, there are some African nations where you have to be a citizen in order to purchase property. But, it, like I said, in places like Ghana, Johannesburg, Cape Town, these places, you do, there's no restrictions on foreigners buying property. The biggest thing you would need to do is you would need to find an agent, a realtor. The same way you would. The process is not that different. It's not too different from the United States. There is just more of an abundance of land, and there is less of a good old boy system, I guess you could say, because they need the development, which is why we see so many of the Chinese in African nations right now, because they do need the development.
Right. And so if you guys are wondering how much a plot of land costs per acre, to build on it, it averages $3,020 per acre. But an acre consists of either 6 to 15 plots, and they're measuring in between 6 by 120 feet. So 15 plots is almost the same size as a football field. So that's a lot of land there. What's up,
Hey, guys, we do have a caller that's on the line that would like to get in the conversation. Caller 935-8, you're live with the middleman. What's going on?
What's going on, man? It's homeboy.
Homeboy.
Hey,
homeboy. What's going on, brother?
What's going on, man? So I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit with you, because I'm listening at the numbers, and I'm trying to figure out. So say you're into investing and you want to invest into some of these properties, say even some of their like properties, houses or stuff that they may have for sale. With their currency being so much lower than the U.S. currency, it'll take you a very, very long time before you really even see money from it. I mean, like, yeah, you can easily purchase it, but is it really worth purchasing the property there when the money is not going to really equal up to what you could possibly do if you just were to get something here? If that makes any sense. And then,
because
two,
you got to think. I'm sorry. Go ahead with your second.
No, go ahead. Because you may answer my question by responding.
I would say yes, because if you look at what Nick was saying as far as the projection of how many people will be living there, and, you know, down the millennial track, when we think about building wealth for family, I think it will be there. Because with the economy expected to, like, blow out the water within the next 20 years, you could be on the front end of that. And so, they you know, you also have this car company over in Ghana as well, too, that is taking off. It's an electric car company. And so, just think about all the jobs that are actually coming in the future, dealing with that once, like, more trade has been expanded, especially with these electric cars. And then 2 weeks ago or a week ago, you know, Africa just signed or just started their own national basketball league. So, yes, it's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and okay. to kind of piggyback off of that more on the – if your investment is more towards buying properties, because there are several investments there, but actually this morning – I was looking at a hostel there because, again, tourism is the increase in over the year of 800%. So there is going to be a continued, even if it falls off a little bit, there's an increase in tourism that's going to Ghana. So I was looking at a hostel this morning. It's a 12-room hostel in a city right outside of Accra. It was $100,000 for this 12-room hostel. Now, the average price, the average rental price for a hostel per night in Ghana equates between, based on where you are is between $13 and $30 per night, U.S. dollars. So when you consider that $100,000 on, what, a 15-year loan with, I want to say the average interest rate there is like 10%, that's a pretty solid return, especially within your first 5 years. You could have well over your investment there. But to Al's point, I think it's also about it being a long-term investment. I've even toyed with the idea of just buying undeveloped land and sitting on it, because developers are going to come. China is doing a heavy investment in African nations right now, and the owners of those properties are going to benefit financially when they eventually do start making their way to those areas.
Right.
But what do you think about that, homeboy?
No, I mean, I guess for me, I look at, I see it, but I always think about, so especially, it's almost like a mindset type of thing. So in our community, the mindset of even investing is something that we have to teach. So, you know, and it, you know, we have to start in our own families and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, and I know this is a little bit off subject, but kind of still on subject. So, like, even with, you know, the stuff that Andrew Yang is trying to do with the universal based income thing, giving people $1,000 a month. Even if we talk about giving, you know, reparations and stuff, where we're giving out money. So my thing is, for us, because we've never been taught how to make money work for us, and we have families of children and just families that grow up that not understand how to invest and what the purpose of investing and what the benefits are for investing. If we don't change the mindset, then we can do all of this work and it still ends up where your children or your family or your estate can end up just pretty much peeing off what you pretty much tried to set up for them, because they still don't have the mindset of how to take care of that investment once you're gone. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I also think to your point, homeboy, I think a lot of it depends, because I will say this. For me, the reason that I'm looking at real estate investment in Ghana, which is one of three businesses that I'm looking to open up there over the course of the next 4 years, I'm looking at it, but I know that the real estate portion of it is going to be the much longer-term investment. It is a mentality change. It's a mindset shift. So I get that. There are a lot of other businesses and business ideas that you can take that have more of a turnkey type of style. For instance, I know several event planners over the course of this year who in the last 5 years or so have been floundering. They did really well with Essence Festival. They did really well with, you know, a lot of other events that are smaller. But as we know, and we all know this being in entertainment, you know, the moment somebody decides, oh, okay, I'm not doing well at my other job, let me try this entertainment thing out, and things get a bit saturated. The saturation is not somewhere like Ghana. So I know a lot of event planners who specifically use the year of the return to kick off their international business, and they started planning these group trips to Ghana, to Nigeria, to Egypt, to, you know, Sierra Leone. So the opportunities for more of your turnkey businesses are there as well. I think it's really just about the opportunity and actually researching, you know, if your particular business interest can work there.
Oh, now, don't get me wrong. Again, I came in to try to play devil's advocate a little bit, because I understand that probably some of the other listeners are like, man, well, I could probably buy a property here in America, and off the rip, I can get $1,500 a month. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, versus I'm getting $100 a night or $100 a month, basically, for something that I did overseas. When I look at over there, then versus over here, I don't know if that really adds up. So that's the reason why I'm like, let me ask the question now, because I'm quite sure somebody else is probably sitting back like, yeah, it sounds like a good idea, but if I really want to make some money and I want to make it within my lifetime, I don't know if those numbers really work for me. You know what I mean? So I just wanted you to be able to elaborate on that a little bit more.
And that's
one thing,
that's
too,
really
I want to add to that, fellas. One thing, if I can add to it, I understand where you're coming from, but also in what we're talking about, there's a possibility of moving there, you know, leaving the States. So I understand what you're saying, but imagine if you were over there and you had the monies to invest, and And that's a way, like, here in America, it's not that easy to invest. And a lot of people don't know how to buy property or even have the capital to buy property. Think about the numbers that Nick gave you earlier compared to their currency to our currency. You take a couple of years. If you take a couple of years of your tax returns and also a little bit of your income that you make daily, imagine if you could take that, save it in a 401k or in a couple of other investments that you have, take that, go over there, multiply your money. 17 cents on the dollar.
I mean, man, I'm be honest with you, I'm in a problem. I'm in a position right now that if we wanted to get one of those hospitals we were talking about, we could do it. You know what I mean? It's just
right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to see. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because like, so like, especially with me, like I'm a business guy myself, so I know all business are not really necessarily for me. Again, I was just really trying to, you know, hey, I know some people are probably looking at this and like, hey, is this for me? As far as moving over there, I don't, you know, a lot of people say, yeah, I want to go back to the motherland, but you got people who aren't willing to leave. I'm from Griffin, so, you know, Kevin, you know where I'm from. You got people who are not willing to leave Griffin, Georgia to go live in Atlanta. So you're talking about nonetheless talking about leaving the whole United States to go live in a whole another country that, you know, you don't really know anything about. So that's a whole nother dynamic that, you know, you have to you know what I mean?
Right.
I definitely agree.
We have a clip that coincides with that. I did want to say this really quickly. With me being in the e-commerce space, one thing that I've run into is more and more people have gotten into the e-commerce space and made a significant amount of money in it. A lot of them are moving to countries, and for whatever reason, the Philippines is like a really big jump for a lot of people I know that are in that space. For you digital nomads out there, the cost of living is so low there that it is, you know, it's a money saver. I'll say that much. But let's go ahead and get into that second clip with BBC Africa, who spoke with Lakeisha Ford about her move. She actually moved with the intent not to come back.
Right. Okay. Here we go.
This is Lakeisha Ford. 5 years ago, she decided to move to Ghana to start a new life. And with it came a new sense of identity.
To me, there's no such thing as a black woman in Ghana. I'm a woman in Ghana. We are all black. I don't see color here because I'm a part of the majority. And I think that's a privilege and a luxury.
She was born and brought up in the US, and her move to Ghana was about starting her own business. But it became more than that.
This place, as in the African continent, specifically Ghana, has restoration for people of color in the diaspora. You know, I want to show people that this is not just an alternative, but a real option to live your life and be successful. We found two partners that would support us with finding.
Lakeisha has no plans to move back to the U.S., and she's encouraging others to join her.
Any black person that is in the diaspora, a trip needs to be made to the African continent. There's almost this like undefined closure that happens. You didn't even know you needed this. You don't even know you need closure in a certain light, but coming here, you get it, and there's almost an alignment that happens.
Yeah. Kev, I gotta say, in my research, and because let me go ahead and put it out there, I'm for sure going to two majority black nations this year, and I'm trying to add a third, right? So I've got my trip to Jamaica coming up in April. I'm looking to go either in June or July to Haiti, and then to Ghana at the end of the year. What I have found in that research and speaking, because one of the biggest things for me was, you know, I don't want to just go there and just be, oh, okay, I'm just here. Oh, yeah, I was in motherland. I'm just here. And not actually know people who are there, people who are indigenous, people who, you know, who are actually connected there outside of the transatlantic slave trade. So I was speaking with a guy on YouTube. He's another YouTuber. And he was telling me, essentially, we're living the same story just on two sides of the Atlantic. So, you know, anybody in our age group, we know a lot of our early visions and pictures and videos that we saw of Africa came via those Sally Struthers commercial, you know, for only 20 cents a day.
Mm-hmm.
You can see, and it just painted a picture of Africa that led us to believe, oh, my God, it's so great to be in the United States because we would be just over there chucking spears and all that type of, you know, all that type of stuff. And the guy I was talking to, you know, he had a similar experience when it came to America because he said that his first introduction to black people in America was the East Coast West Coast rivalry.
Wow.
Let's think about that. He said, I thought, right, and he's from Liberia. He was like, you know, he was like, I know we have our share of issues here, but he said, I thought that black people in America were just these crazy, you know, psychopaths that, you know, only wanted to fight each other and talk about each other's families. And just that was his introduction. So for years, he was just like, I will never, ever step foot into the United States of America because I wouldn't even feel safe around people that look like me. And we even see that today. We still see those stereotypes. As much access as we have to see the truth, we still see that today. Mm-hmm. When you look at someone like it was a young lady on, I've spent a lot of time on YouTube with this, but she was talking – actually, no, this was on Twitter. She's actually in Nigeria right now. And her father sent her a message, you know, hey, with everything that's happening right now with the president – you need to be back over here because the United States is the safest place in the world to be right now. And it's just like, no. We still getting shot up over there too.
Yeah, we're getting knocked off over here, man. It's crazy.
You know, they have travel advisories on the United States in other countries. So just like, you know, the United States tells us, oh, this place isn't safe. They're like, no, the U.S. isn't safe. So you might not want to go over there. They're killing black people in the street just for being black.
Well, you know, one thing, like James said earlier, well, homeboy said earlier, man, it's more so the biggest misconception of us not knowing. And like you said, you know, we're taught a certain mind state when we look at
right.
the continent. And the biggest part that we got to get over, and I think as we get older, we still have the opportunity to teach the younger generation of what's really going on. So if they see us doing this, they wouldn't mind doing this because, you know, the younger generation is a little bit more, they will explore a little bit more than we would.
Oh,
and there's
absolutely.
Nothing wrong with that. They'd rather travel. They'll travel faster than we will. So
right.
I think it's a great step for us to even look at the continent. And I think we need to do us as Americans, even though I was watching some videos and some people in different parts of Africa, they look at us real sideways. You know, they don't even consider us the same as them, which I find that hard to believe. But then I see some of their standpoints, and I think we need to do a show on that and bring some of our brothers and sisters from Africa on that show.
Oh,
but,
absolutely.
It's more so like, man, if we don't take advantage of these opportunities now, by the time we do get ready to take advantage of these opportunities, it's going to be way too late.
Absolutely. Because
China, like you said, they're there. Everybody in this world is moving in that direction to the continent of Africa. And we better pay attention.
I think it's about proximity as well. Because the first time I traveled outside of the United States was to Canada. The second and third time was to Mexico. A lot of times we will travel based on how landlocked or our, you know, or what's closest in proximity. I think there's something that if you've not traveled across the Atlantic, there's something that is holding us back from making a trip that long. You know, we hear about, you know, all the different things that can go wrong with planes and all these types of things. So but if you look at Europe, you know, African nations are their number one travel destinations for holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But the proximity
is a lot
closer.
We have another caller that would like to get in this conversation right here. Caller 4644, you're live with the middleman. What's going on?
You know, this is Mr. P. in the Midwest. Blacks in America are United States citizens, man. They're not Africans. And yes, there's a lot of business opportunities for those who have the capability of participating in that. You know, I hear people, and I know you have, say, oh, America, no, the United States is stealing resources. They ain't the United States government. Those are companies that's doing business, which you, the three of you on this line could do yourself if you got the capability of doing it. Those countries need, and the, any developing country needs reliable electricity, sewer system, water systems, and agriculture.
Sure.
Now, what black companies here in the United States are doing that? Now, not to say they're not doing anything, but the put-in electrical system. And, you know, here's another thing. This is nothing new. There's plans, business plans out the gazoo. But it takes a combination. Now, you know, if you put in an electrical system, okay,
mm-hmm.
how are the people going to pay for it?
Yeah.
You can't sell the empty pockets. So the people that's buying electricity, that's receiving electricity, because in Nigeria, that's a problem right now. They had to put in smart meters because people were stealing electricity. So if people don't have the money to pay for the electricity, whereas the reinvestment return on investment is going to be what it should be, nobody's going to put their money up like that.
So, Ms. Pete, I will push back on just a couple of things on that, and I appreciate your comment, and definitely was
yeah, let me
a lot
hear
of things. So the first thing I will push back on is the fact that, yes, we are Americans by birth. We are still descendants of Africa. That's first and foremost. That's not going anywhere. When you look at other countries, when you look at countries like South Korea, when you look at countries like China, when you look at countries like Japan, going back to what I was speaking about earlier with the Chinese diaspora, the people that were a part of the Chinese diaspora weren't putting up electric companies. What they were doing was they were establishing businesses in their respective areas in the new countries and engaging in commerce with suppliers in their native lands. That's the entire premise behind what President Addo is trying to do. So every investment is not going to be simply about electrical. It's not going to simply be about water and sewage. There are many aspects that grow it. To say, and yes, there are. While there are some African nations where it's just like, oh, well, they don't have the money. But, you know, the reality is there are a lot of nations in Africa that do, and they do spend regularly. And every other country seemingly in the Eastern Hemisphere is doing some type of commerce with them in some form or fashion. What we're trying to say is if there's opportunity for us to do the same, then we should do it. And I think that's just good business sense.
Well,
if you
want to
talk about electricity,
I agree with you. I agree with you on that.
Hold on. We're talking about electricity. Look at the work that's being done in Senegal right now with solar.
Yeah, but
solar
is not going to replace electricity. I worked to put the bill of 300. I worked to put a 350 megawatt. I worked to put a 350 megawatt power generating system in the Odu State in Nigeria. Solar is not going to replace electricity. It's not going to happen. And it may be a supplement, but it's not going to happen. Then if
it
happens, and you know, here's another thing. If you're not doing that type of business in the United States where you have everything to your advantage, you have access, and so on and so on and so on, it's going to be damn near impossible to do something like that in another country.
And I would agree to an extent.
Yeah.
I would agree to an extent, depending on the industry. But let's not act as if the only commerce-generating industries in the nations that are in the continent of Africa are electricity. And
well, you
got
to have electricity to do anything else. What else? You know, you got a wall switch there on your wall in the room you're in now.
But
hang on
for
a second.
Right now is you're perpetuating
the
stereotype that the majority of Africa is without power.
I spent a lot of time in West Africa. My wife is from the Volta region in Ghana. I have homes there and business there. When you get up from your chair and go to that wall and hit that switch, something positive happens. That's not the case there. They need sewer system. They have open sewage. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before. When a pipe comes out of the house and goes to an open trough.
Yeah.
Those are things that's right. needed. I'd say Africa is probably about 60 years behind the United States. About 60 years.
So, as
a business person can't go there by yourself. You have to work with somebody there on the ground. You have to join into a business. And the best thing is not to go to the central.
You just said that you have businesses there. So to say,
businesses that's easy to extract from. Now look, I'm not telling you what not to do.
How long have you had property there?
I have property in Ghana. I have property in Zambia. Just done a business arrangement in Zambia, in what y'all like to call Wakanda. It's just that, but the opportunities are there. But like I'm saying before, you can't get loans over there. A loan over there is going to cost you 40% interest. You got to have your cartel to have your money. Then you got to have a business partner, and then you got to work with a regional chief. You can't work with the governments.
So
I'm just giving you some
advice.
I
don't know if you listened from the beginning, but that's one of the things that we covered from the very beginning. Well, that's the thing about it.
Yeah.
You're reinforcing our point, but then telling us that our point is not valid.
Well, I'm only telling you this because I've done it myself and experienced it
And
myself.
We appreciate the insight. We really do appreciate the insight. No one is saying that it's going to be a cakewalk to do it. What we are saying is that the opportunity is there.
Opportunities are there. Yes, it is. If you know how to extract, say, copper in Zambia,
mm-hmm.
then you have the ability to build processing plants where you can turn that copper into, say, copper tubing and building wire and add value to it.
Right.
Where you hire people. That's a good thing.
So let me ask you this, Mr. C, as well. So our wife and I, we are in education. And so
mm-hmm.
My wife
in American education. If it's American
right.
education, that's a sad thing right now. Because it don't produce what it should be.
In the context of, if that wasn't me for that, how would we do with that?
You know what kind of need they need, though, as far as education? You know, Africans are more highly educated. If you compare them to blacks, they're more highly educated than black, those kids are. Here in the United States, they have the highest educational attainment than any other ethnic groups. And when you look at the stuff that they do, they go into the high-paying fields. Pharmacy, medical, engineering. That's what they do.
So, do you have
especially them Nigerians?
Do you have any suggestions? Do you have any suggestions for anybody that was looking forward to possibly investing in Africa? I know you gave us a good, as far
as this is what happened
earlier.
This
is there anything
what
else
I
we're
see.
Missing?
This is what I see that needs to do. A lot of things have to happen at the same time. If you're going to do state projects, then there needs to be trade schools train workers in the major trades. That is carpentry, ironwork, sheet metal, plumbing, electricity. That's engineering. That's something that needs to be done. So if you were to have a trade school, say in welding, you would have classes full. Now, you ain't going to make the kind of money that you would here in the United States, but that's what it has to do. China, those companies that's working there representing China, those are state-owned companies. They're not necessarily individuals. They're state-owned companies. United States don't get engaged in things like that. Now, what the United States do have, if you was going to build, say, a power generating station, and you was going to use a General Electric turbine or some other part, the U.S. Trade and Development Agency would fund a lot of those American-made products that you use in the category that, like we talk about, electricity in other areas too.
So
well, what
inspired
you to open the business up in Africa? What inspired
Kevin and I
you to
asking
do
the
that?
Same thing.
Here in the United States, I erected structural steel. You know what structural steel is? Structural steel is like the buildings that fell down in New York during 9/11. I've done that for 4 decades and had my own company doing it in the latter years. So I had established a hub here. It allowed me to go elsewhere and do things that I wanted. You always got to have something to fall back on. You have to have something that generates cash, U.S. dollars. And U.S. dollars is very powerful around the world, especially in Africa.
That's true. Well, you know, we do appreciate your time, and we hope you keep listening.
Yeah, think about that.
I appreciate your insight. Yes, sir. We definitely appreciate your insight. And thank you for, you know, bringing a little bit more knowledge to the show. And we appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Nick. Nick over here shaking a little bit. You good, brother?
No, I'm good. It's
hey,
just,
but he gave some good insight.
He
gave
some good insight, but it literally reinforced what we've been saying from the beginning of the show. That's what threw me off a bit. It literally reinforced what we were saying from the beginning of the show. But we appreciate the insight. We do appreciate the insight because he did speak on another portion of it that we didn't cover. So we definitely appreciate you, Mr. B.
Most definitely. As a matter of fact, we've extended the show a little bit just to make sure that we got his point across. I think, Nick, you had some excellent points. And we appreciate you for even bringing up this thought process because we are heading in a different direction here in America as far as with our politics. And I see a lot of our people, they're leaving. They're going different places. I was going to ask you also in the midst of that part, not that part of the conversation, but earlier when we were talking about the young lady that moved to Africa about dual citizenship. Is that something would you recommend or is that something that our listeners should look into?
I would definitely look into it. There are a couple, again, this all depends, and I know we've spent quite a bit of the show talking about Ghana and a bit about Nigeria, but I would look into the process of immigration for whichever African nation you are thinking about. I will say in terms of Ghana, one, they just actually granted citizenship to 126 African Americans who have been living over in Ghana for a number of years. President Adu is also allowing people who are of Ghanaian descent to apply for citizenship for free, which is something that's huge. Anybody who's ever sought out citizenship in another nation, you know, it can be a very extensive process. Now, you would have to prove your descent. So I would encourage everyone to go ahead, if you have not already, to go ahead and have your DNA tested to see where exactly your roots go to. But before you do that, realize a couple of things. Ancestry DNA, 23andMe, and MyHeritage DNA, you will not get an accurate depiction of your African lineage. And think people kind of get it twisted because they just see and they say, oh, well, it says I'm 97% West African. Well, damn, thank you for telling us where we were picked up. We know that the vast majority of people in transatlantic slave trade are West African. I would absolutely suggest AfricanAncestry.com. This is not a paid endorsement or anything like that. I would suggest them because they have the largest database of African DNA, and they can tell you down to the tribe your African lineage. So I would know that, and if you do find out that you are descent of Ghana, then I think it would be worth it to go ahead, and at least while the opportunity to apply for citizenship for free is open, to go ahead and take it.
Right.
But I would stay away from, I'm telling you, I would stay away from Ancestry DNA, 23andMe, and MyHeritage DNA. Absolutely stay away from them. They're going to tell you the majority of your European lineage, which we know 8 times out of 10 has come from some type of forcible sexual assault on our ancestors. But then in addition to that, they sell your DNA, and they do keep it on file. There was actually just a young lady about 2 weeks ago who did an update video when she originally got her ancestry traced through AncestryDNA.com. It came back that she was 46% Nigerian, and then she got an update about 2 weeks ago that said that there's new information. That 46% dropped down to 6%. And my biggest issue is, why do you still have my DNA on file, unlike African ancestry, who destroys all of that? So that's just that's my thought process on it. And I would say definitely do your due diligence and look into it. I think it's a great idea.
Also, to our listeners out there, if you do not have a passport, please go ahead and get yourself a passport if you do not have one. That's my recommendation.
How much that passport? For those that don't know, give them a rundown on that passport, Al. How to get it.
$150. You can go to
your
local post office and get it done. Very simple. Or you can go online, fill out the application, go to Walgreens and get your passport photo done, and then take it to your local post office.
Absolutely.
Complete it and sent off.
And please don't wait until right before you're trying to go on your trip, because it does take time.
Yes, you do. And make sure your local post office is an office that will do passports. So not every post office do passports.
Right.
So make sure of that. Hey, man, great show, man. I want to give my guy Homeboy a chance to plug their show. We're going to bring him back in if he's still out there listening right now. Homeboy, you still listening, my guy?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
Give me a moment here to plug. You have a podcast that, man, I thoroughly enjoy. I think you guys have some great topics on your podcast. For our listeners out there supporting us, you need to support these guys.
Yeah, sure, man.
What's the name of your show, brother? And give them
the Big Homie Show.
Information on how to get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can find us on SoundCloud at the Big Homie Show. Instagram, Big Homie Show, as well as Facebook, Big Homie Show. So, yeah, we just did a show. We just posted a new show where we talked about the perception of people and how we perceive people to be great just based off perception. So, yeah, I think a lot of people will get a lot of good insight out of that too. So, be entertained.
Y'all talking about Tupac and Biggie again?
Nah,
you know,
man. You know, we kind of tied it up into just give you a little snippet. We were talking about a host of things, but then we ended up talking about Nick Gordon and, you know, how he was perceived to be the person who was, you know, responsible for killing Bobby Christina. But, you know, a lot of it was like, okay, you had two people who both were suffering from substance abuse, but because she was popular, her mom was popular, her dad was popular, he gets perceived to be the enemy. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
I'll just leave it at that, but you guys can check the rest of it out whenever you get a chance.
Absolutely.
And let them know what it is. Say it one more again.
It is the Big Homie Show, and it is Big Homie Show on SoundCloud, Facebook, and Instagram.
Yes, sir. Man, we appreciate you, brother, and always, as usual, thank you very much for calling in and giving us some insight from your perspective and playing the devil's advocate today.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. I appreciate it, man. I enjoyed myself.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Peace.
Man, once again, great show. Nick, you okay? We're gonna have to give you some decaffeinated coffee.
No. Listen, okay, I'm totally fine. I'm totally fine, and
okay.
I really do appreciate the insight of Mr. P. I really, really do. You know, but
yeah, you almost sounded like I did. Old lady, y'all let jump on me.
The only thing I will say is whether you decide to travel internationally or not decide, even if it's not investment, even if you're traveling just to go, I think that, you know, nothing should be deterred. Give it that honest shot. If you get over there, if you see, okay, I'm over here, I'm just coming for travel and leisure, wonderful. If you get over there and you're going for development and infrastructure and business opportunities, then go. But give yourself the opportunity to see something outside of the four walls of your home and outside of your neighborhood.
Definitely. Hey, you got anything you want to tell the listeners, man?
Hey, I just want to let everybody know, you know, my experience traveling to Africa was great. I really want each and every one, if you do have inkling in your soul or your body that states that you want go to the continent of Africa. Choose a country and go. Make sure that they are countries that in which you will have the experience in which you want to have. So you will be able to go back and share those experiences with your family and friends. So. Most definitely.
I definitely do it. I gotta go.
You gotta go.
It's gonna take a little bit of time to save up that money, but I'm going.
And if you have plans of going, I'm telling you, leave everybody in 2020. Don't, because you know how it starts off. It'll be 15 people saying, "Yeah, we're gonna all go together." Then when it's time to pay the first deposit, you're gonna be down to 8. Then when it's time to pay the rest of the money, you're gonna be down to 2. And then next thing you know, you're canceling the trip. Budget your trip.
At the end of the day,
you are going by yourself.
Still pay for yours.
And go by yourself.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Budget your trip
and
if you're going by yourself.
If you got your plane tickets, you know you're going because you got your plane tickets. So go ahead and get your plane tickets.
Yeah.
They'll wait for that last deposit. You just got to get there.
Hey, man, can I get my money back?
No.
You're wrong. Nick, you know why you're wrong, right?
Why am I wrong?
I was supposed to go on a trip with Al. I feel like you threw a pot shot at me.
You know what? I was actually not throwing a pot shot at you. I was throwing a pot shot at somebody who was listening to the show that was supposed to be in Jamaica with us and pulled out the last second and was supposed to go to Cancun with me last year and pulled out the last second. So that's what I'm talking to. You know who you are.
Oh, wow. Hey, and
I'm
on that note,
y'all folks.
We out.
All
hey, y'all share this
I'm
show with somebody. Download it. Share it with a friend. Share it with a coworker. Tell them about us. We're here every Sunday at 6 p.m. unless something goes out. But we're here like clockwork. And we out.
Oh, yeah.
Say your famous words.
Thank you for taking an hour out your day to listen to the Middle Man Talk Show. And we out. We'll be back next week, people.
Slow clap, man. Slow clap for those a little late. All right.